The John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it. You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age. I'm your host, John Age. It's a pleasure to be with you today once again on the program. We got a great guest. We got Dr. David Berman coming up in just a mere matter of moments. But before we get into that, we got to get into this. AnomicAge.com is where you need to go to find all things me, all things Anomic Age, the information breakdown segments for those of you who just can't handle the full show. If you're into the full show also, we got the guests, the video, the audio, all that. PayPal.me/AnomicAge, Patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. I can't overstate this enough. If you like the content, the programs, the information breakdown segments, I could certainly use your help. Because it's coming down to the wire here, folks, and there will undoubtedly be less shows coming. As no matter what, I think there's going to be less shows coming. But if you love this content, please sponsor the show. Please donate to the show and support us. Also, if you can do nothing else, like the likes, subscribe to the subscriptions, and share the links. I love people to just like the show. Don't get me wrong. But if you can share those links, I would really appreciate that too. Got the newsletter for free. iPhone, Android app, all free. Make sure you set it up and allow the notifications to go through. Enough of that. We got a lot to talk about with our guest. So stick around for just a mere matter of seconds. We'll be joined by our guest on the other side. It is my pleasure to welcome back into the Anomic Age, Pastor David Berman. Pastor Berman has been an ordained minister since 1991. He is the founding and senior pastor of the Christian Life Fellowship Church in Swansea, New Hampshire, and is ordained in the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church. Pastor Berman has extensive ministry experience, including church planning, training theological students, mentoring, and counseling. Dr. Berman also has vast business experience, public speaking, as well as extensive media experience. He's been a guest on hundreds of radio and television shows discussing theology, social and political worldview, and just about every hot button cultural issue there is. So thank you once again for being with us today.
I'm glad to be with you.
And I'm excited. We talked a little bit before the show. I had no idea you were so popular up there with Black Lives Matter and Southern Poverty Law Center. So The easiest question is, how's it been going since we touched base last?
Well, of course, I think that was some time before COVID hit. You and I had a show together. And, of course, once COVID hit, that was kind of crazy. All of the insanity and all of the government overreach trying to control pastors and churches. And so we've had that. And I had a meeting with my elders early on. And let's remember, when COVID first hit, nobody knew what the heck was going on. We didn't know what this thing was. So we sat down to the elders, and I told the elders, I'm not willing to allow the state to shut us down for any reason. However, if we decide based on the evidence that we have that we'd be best to chill out for a little bit, then I'm open to that. But I'm not letting the state shut me down. So the elders and I met, spoke about what we knew at the time. And the consensus amongst the elders was, let's give it 2 weeks to give them some time for the hospitals. Because if you remember, when they first started, they just wanted to flatten the curve a little bit so they have a little time for the hospitals to get ready. So as good neighbors, as it were, we decided, okay, we'll do that for a couple of weeks. We can let the hospitals have a little time to get together. And we broadcast our service online. After 2 weeks, I think, something like that, the governor said, oh, we got to go another maybe 3 weeks or 5 weeks or something. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, hold on a minute. And so I waited a little bit, and then it became clear to me going over the numbers. My wife and myself were going over numbers. Became clear this was not okay. So I discussed this with the governor. I was on a phone call with the guy. I was invited to be on a phone call with the governor with a couple other pastors. And I was on the phone call, and I discussed with him this is not okay. He didn't care, and he issued this mandate that you cannot have church service. So I called the elders and said, well, we're going to have church service anyway. So we ordered some tents, and we had 4 weeks of services outside. And then I said, that's enough for that. We're moving back in the building. So we actually been having church since May 17th of last year. So we didn't – I was the last one in my area to shut the church down, to give them a little time, and then I just opened up fairly quickly. I think it was a month and a half by the time we opened back up, because it took a little time to order the tents to have the meetings outside. Had meetings for 4 weeks, and we had them inside the church. And I've have been ever since. I was fully prepared to be arrested, and I told my people, if they arrest me, I'll let them take me. But they can't tell the church that it can't meet. This is to say the church is not essential is not okay with me. And so we went with that. Now, when that hit, as you know, then all this craziness happened with the riots. I don't remember exactly the timeline with the George Floyd thing and riots and burning cities and looting and all this insanity's happening. And I, you know, last 4th of July, I preached a sermon on the founding of the nation, like I always do, what the principles of liberty are. And I said a lot of things, and I specifically spoke out against Marxism. I got on Facebook, spoke out against Marxism, against Black Lives Matter, not because I have any problem with people's lives matter, because all people's lives matter. But Black Lives Matter is not a group. It's not interested in Black lives. It's interested in promoting sexual morality, LGBTQ, WXYZ, or however many, you know, how many. And promoting Marxism and destroying the family. In fact, right on their website, they said they want to disrupt the family, the Judeo-Christian family. So I came out very strongly against Black Lives Matter because of those reasons, and all hell broke loose. I had threats coming at me. I had Black Lives Matter people out here in front of the church every Sunday morning trying to intimidate, with signs calling me horrible names, putting my name all over the internet, calling various organizations, leftist liberal organizations, trying to cancel me, trying to put pressure on me to apologize for what I said, which I refused to do. I will never apologize for speaking the truth. I'm happy to apologize if I'm wrong about something, but I'm not going to apologize about speaking the truth. And so they, you know, they're very tried to intimidate. They tried to cancel me. They tried getting my people to turn on me and all kinds of stuff. It was a big brouhaha. It's in all the local papers, on the local radio stations. And I was just, I'm walking through town. People give me the evil eye. It was, wow. It was crazy. It wasn't much fun, but you know, it is what it is. And not long after that started, I spoke in Washington, a very important meeting in Washington with a number of politicians there at the Bible Museum. So I'm not going to back down from these people. Believe me, I'm not going to, because the truth is the truth. The word of God is the word of God. And I'm not here and I'm not interested in being anybody's political figure. You know, I'm not running for office. And if I did, I wouldn't win because I'd tell the truth. So it is what it is. But we need pastors to stand up and lead their people in truth without fear.
And that's a sick thing. We're just not seeing it. I'm so proud of you and so happy you're doing what you're doing, because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, this isn't rocket science here. You're supposed to stand against tyranny. You're supposed to stand against the state that's trying to shut down a church. I mean, this is nuts.
It's so discouraging, though, to see. You wouldn't believe, you know, it's bad enough that I got the world coming against me, but I kind of expect that. It's really a lack of respect from other pastors, frankly. And, you know, in my area, with all that was going on, and this was very big. I'm telling you, this was not a little thing. Everybody knew what was going on. It was in the papers, the radio. They put it all over the internet. It was a big brouhaha, right? The papers are calling me. Not one pastor stood up for me. Not one stood up and said, what are you calling that guy those names for? He's not those things. Not one. And I think it's because they're afraid the mob's going to turn on them. But if you bow to the mob, you're only encouraging the mob. It's like a bully. You know, when I was in school, like every other person in school, you always had the bully there, you know, the bully. And the best way to stop a bully is to punch him right in his nose. Straight shot.
That's right. Right there.
And then the bully realizes that his intimidation factor is gone. And this is how these people operate. They operate with intimidation. They're going to try to cancel you, take your position away, besmirch your character, lie about you, make you look bad, and try to destroy you. And this is what these people do, because they really are evil beyond measure. We're talking about sons of Satan. Their desire is to destroy people they don't agree with, destroy them, have them lose their job, have them lose their positions, their bring up stuff, something they said when they were a teenager, for God's sake. I mean, these people have lost their mind. They really are nasty, evil, rotten to the core people who need Jesus. And I pray for them. They'll come to Christ. And I've led many people like that to Jesus, thank God. But in that present state, these are a brood of vipers. They find some sort of self-satisfaction in destroying other people so they can say that they're, you know, they're virtue signaling and how righteous they are, but they're evil to the core. Evil.
That's what's been so troubling to me, is that people can't seem to realize this. They can't seem to realize that going along to get along is not going to work out so well. They forget about the night of the long knife scenario. So, I mean, I put this out to everybody. Everybody that's going along to get along with this mess, it's not going to end well. We all see how the story ends, and it's not going to go well.
No, I mean, you go along to get along with what? Get along with communism? Get along with totalitarianism? Do with taking your free speech rights, your freedom of thought, with Orwellian, dystopian sort of insanity that they're attempting for you to place on us? We go along with that? Well, if you go along with that, you're an idiot.
That's right.
Because you're not only are you condemning yourself to that, you're condemning your children and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren to that. Because you ain't got no guts. Because you're worried about yourself rather than your family and your children, your grandchildren, and your nation.
That's right.
These are little babies with titles. If you're really afraid that you're going to lose your church if you stand for righteousness, then you shouldn't be in that church in the first place.
That's it. I know you already know this, but I think most pastors are more worried about putting the butts in the seats and maintaining the sound system and the lights and the coffee bar and everything else than the souls. I mean, that stuff is just all relative. It's nothing.
I think something else. I agree with you 100%, but I think it's even more than that. I think they don't want to be looked at as bad.
Yeah.
They're afraid about people thinking they're mean or they're this phobe, that phobe. Everybody's called a hater if you don't agree with the left. I've been called every name in a book. I know who I am. And I know who I love, and I know that I will minister to people. I don't care where they come from, what they're – I don't care. I love people. I don't care what your color is, what your ethnic – I don't care. I love people. I have spent my entire life ministering to people, drug addicts, prostitutes. It doesn't matter to me what your ethnic background is or what you've done in the past. If you're repentant, if I can help you, I will help you. But we have now that we have a lot of people that are worried about their career. I've told my people, I don't say this flippantly or with some kind of bravado. I've just told them, you have to understand, a pastor doesn't work for the people. A pastor works for God. Jeremiah was told, don't be afraid of their faces. Tell them the truth. So if the church wants me, then they'll receive me. If they don't want me, they'll reject me. But I work for God. I have to be honest and tell them what the word of God says and what's going on in our society. Because resistance to tyranny is service to God.
That's absolutely right.
I think it was Jefferson who said that. I'm not sure. I think it was Jefferson. But how are you going to stand there and let your family go into tyranny? You do nothing about it. Let your friends, let your brethren, your Christian brethren, not be able to meet to have church because of the tyranny of the government with breaking their own rules because he has no – they keep telling us separation of church and state because they don't want the church to influence the state anymore, but they want the state to control the church.
That's right.
So I got on television. I don't say this boastfully. I'm just telling you what I did. So I got on television, and I said, Mr. Governor, no disrespect, but the church is open, And you can arrest me if you want to. But I'm not relenting. The church is open and people will come. We kept broadcasting because we do a broadcast. And I told my people, I said, if you don't feel comfortable coming back, you don't have to. I'm not going to force you.
That's right.
But if you don't, you can stay home if you want and watch on television. But if those who want to come to church, come to church. I'm saying the place was packed. I probably had 90% of people come back as soon as I opened up again. They came right back. And I had people coming from other churches that were longing to get together and worship God with other believers. And right now, I'd say I've got, 99% of the people back and have had for quite some time. And I'm not going to force you to wear a mask. I'm not doing it. And I said so publicly. I said so on Facebook. I said so publicly. I said, if you come to Christian Life Fellowship, you don't have to. If you want to wear a mask, it's your business. But no, I'm not forcing anybody to wear a mask. And if two adult people want to talk to each other, they can talk to each other. And if two adult people want to give each other a hug, they can do that. They're adults. They can hug each other if they want to.
What a concept. I mean, this is just basic life skills here. I just can't even believe that this is a talking point from the communists, but it is.
I got to call Governor Sununu and ask him, hey, would you mind if I hug this guy over here? I haven't seen him in a while. I love this brother. I'm going to give him a hug. Is that all right with you? I don't think so.
Well, talk me off this ledge, because this is something I've been getting just more and more riled about in the past few days, because I've started hearing this more and more. Out of respect for these other people, I'm going to wear my mask. And out of respect for this and that, I'm going to wear my mask.
Yeah.
And I've been so irritated because I've been saying, hey, I mean, I understand we're Christians. We're going to be nice to each other. But, I mean, there's a point in time, like, first you got to get mad, like the Howard Beale thing says. First you got to say, no, if you want to believe in the mask cult, that's your business. I'm not going to wear a mask. Out of respect for myself, I'm not wearing the stinking mask. Out of respect for my family, I'm not wearing the stinking mask.
How about respect for truth?
Exactly, yes.
The mask doesn't do a thing. It does literally nothing to stop a virus, and they know it. There's not one study, peer-reviewed study, that shows that masks will stop a virus. The freaking things aren't made for it. They're made for bacteria. A person's in an operating room, they cough. They don't want bacteria, spit. It'll be gross, but to get in the body we're operating on. So it has nothing to do with a virus. It's like the virus is tiny. It's like putting up a chain link fence over your face and think you're going to keep a gnat out. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. Masks do not stop viruses. They don't. I read every study I could find. And some of those studies were fairly recent, 2014, 2015. Masks do not stop viruses. So then you get these people who freaking put a mask on, then they put it in their pocket. They pick it up, put the mask, and put it in your pocket. Pick the mask, and put it. This mask is going to stop something? If anything, the thing's dirty and you're just sucking in the bacteria all day. I mean, I'm not going to live in your fantasy world and wear a mask because you want to wear one. If you want to wear one, feel free. I mean, that's up to you. But I'm not going to. Because it doesn't do anything. And I need to breathe air. It's pathetic, my friend. It really is. Because they're very clever, the communists. Let's analyze what they did. Okay? They said, listen to this. They say, brother, your mask protects me. And my mask protects you. So they framed it this way to pit people against each other. Mm-hmm. So you would say, well, Pastor Dave, don't you care about me? You're supposed to be you're selfish. They did this on purpose. Now they're doing the same thing with this experimental vaccine that I'm not taking. And none of my family are taking it either. They're saying, oh, you have to get this to protect the other person. Well, if you got the vaccine, what do I need to take it for? It protects you, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I framed it like this the other night. I said, it's the same thing like the Jim Jones cult. You're there in the Jim Jones cult. Everybody's drinking Kool-Aid. You're watching people fall down to the ground. But out of respect for everybody else drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid. No, I don't think so. I'm not drinking the stinking cyanide. That ain't happening.
Right, brother. Right. I think we've gotten to such a place in the church. I've been saying this for 30 years, and that's why I don't have a lot of pastors that frankly are angry at me all the time. But I've been calling this out for years, 30 years. I'm calling pastors up for 30 years. Will you man up and lead your congregation and tell your people the truth about what's going on? I mean, you walk into a church today, and most churches in America, now there are a lot of good churches, thank God, but for most churches in America, right, they wouldn't want nothing to do with Apostle Paul preaching in that pulpit because they'd say he's too harsh. I'm serious.
Yeah, amen to that. Spot on. You, amen to that.
And you look at theologians that we all respect, like A.W. Tozer. If you ever read, I don't know if you're familiar with A.W. Tozer. If you're not, if you can read his stuff, it's very good stuff. He was around many years ago, a fantastic theologian. But the stuff he said was hardcore, and the churches would not let him preach in the church today. They read his books. They wouldn't let him preach because we're living in a time where everybody's worried about the feelings of everybody who walks in their congregation. Mm-hmm. And I tell my people, it's not my job to worry about your feelings if your feelings are at odds with the truth of the scriptures. Now, I obviously worry about your feelings and care for you, but if your feelings are at odds with the word of God, then I have to still tell you the word of God.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is the truth. Whether or not people like it or want to accept it, it's still there.
Right. Now, the latest thing, I think you saw this, was our latest video on our homepage.
Yes, that was beautiful, by the way.
About the progressive movement. Yeah. Thank you. I guess it's maybe a four-minute video or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, very blunt and expresses exactly what's going on with the progressive movement. And, in that a concise way, obviously 4 or 5 minutes, but really hits what the progressive movement is all about. And what it's about is totalitarianism. It's about control of your thoughts. You can't even disagree with them, or you're labeled a bigot, a racist, a hater, or this or that, whatever they want to label you. And so many people are so worried about what they're labeled. Now, I understand people losing their jobs because they're labeled. I understand. But here's what the communists do. They take a little bit, if we can keep pushing, and you give them a little room. Well, I don't want to lose my life. I give them a little, okay. I don't want to lose my job. Okay, I lost my job. I don't want to lose where I live. Until you got nothing left to protect.
That's right.
Because you should have said in the beginning, no. In the beginning. No, you're not getting any of what I own. Certainly not my right to free thought or free speech. Not getting it.
And that's what's so insidious with this cancel culture now. And it's just an anathema to all freedom. I mean, it's hilarious that the communists are pulling this cancel culture mess when for 40, 50 years they've been saying, oh, well, abstract art is beyond reproach, we can't censor that. Crucifixing, urine, we can't censor that. Pornography, we can't censor that. But you said something we don't like. That's hate speech. Now you're canceled. Now you can't speak. We've taken down your platforms. We've taken down your payment processors. We'll have you shunned in the street.
Yeah, banks not even allowing people to do business.
Just because you said the wrong word. Or you called a guy when he identified himself as a woman. So that's totally different.
Yeah, well, let's get that straight. Bruce Jenner is Bruce Jenner, who changed his name to Caitlyn and put a dress on. He suffers from some sort of a mental illness where he thinks he's a woman when he's not. And no matter how much he thinks he's a woman, he's never going to be a woman. There's no possible way for him to be a woman. He never has been a woman. He's not a woman now. He never will be. Putting on a dress and growing your hair long and makeup does not make you a woman. You're not a woman. He's not a woman. Never going to be a woman. It's a man with a dress. Now, people say what I just said is insensitive and mean. I think it's not insensitive at all. I think it's insensitive to allow someone to live in their delusion and support your delusion. Yeah, you're not a woman. Now, could we talk about this issue for a moment?
Anything, please, by all means.
So here's the transgender issue, right? So on one hand, the leftists say male and female is a social construct. On the other hand, Bruce Jenner puts a dress on and grows his hair and tries to look like a woman. Well, isn't that a social construct? What are you trying to look like? Then you have people like Candace Owens getting canceled from doing a radio show she was going to do because she made the outrageous statement that only women can have babies.
Oh, man.
Men cannot have babies. That was considered an outrageous, transphobic statement. So she's canceled from a radio show because she doesn't think that men can have babies. So when you've gotten to this level of insanity, you can't expect these people are going to receive any kind of truth because they've lost their minds. They don't, you know, they're illogical. Then the people that can't tell the difference between a man and a woman say to you, brother, that you don't trust science. Well, I can read an anatomy book. And so I would ask the so-called trans community, whatever that is, what is a woman? And you know what answer I'm going to get? There is no answer. What is a woman?
Yeah, it's all relative. We could all be women right now.
So if it's all relative, then there are no women.
That's right.
And so what about the feminist movement that says, I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too large to ignore? And all the other dumb things they have with the stupid hats. You got no leg to stand on as a feminist if you support the transgender movement at all, because a transgender movement says there really is no gender. There's 5,000, or maybe even some have said there's no end to the genders. So why do you want a woman president for, and what does that mean? If a man becomes president and says, I feel like a woman today, does that mean that a woman is now the president? You see, the people that are telling us that we're illogical and not following science are the ones who are not following science. And in fact, this is a tactic of Marxism from way back. You always accuse your enemy of the things you're doing. The Marxists are the most racist, most nasty, meanest people on earth. They'll do anything. They will cancel and destroy anybody to get their way. And they can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. And I remember listening to a woman talk about how she was supporting this transgender stuff. And the guy asked her, well, what is a woman then? And she couldn't answer. This is a woman who don't know what a woman is. And she thinks you and I are crazy. This is what we're dealing with, my friend. So as a pastor, you can try to, you know, kind of go above the fray and, you know, just, oh, we're just going to kind of, you know, we're not going to get involved. Well, if you don't get involved with what's happening in society, you are breaking your oath, because these are philosophical positions that are challenging the truth of God's word. And in the New Testament, we see through the epistles, one of the main challenges to God's word was Gnosticism back then. And they were coming against the Gnosticism in the word of God. They're correcting that stuff. We have to correct Marxism, because Marxism is not simply a political ideology. It is a demonic spiritual ideology which wants to replace God with the state. It is a theological position of atheism that says the state is government. It's secular humanism. It's atheism, and it's the worship of government and of the state. It is progressivism, a religion, and it has its priests, its prophets, and its orthodoxy. And you better not break its orthodoxy, because if you do, you will run through the Inquisition just like the Catholic Church did in the Spanish Inquisition. There's no difference.
It's so sick that people can't seem to realize that the atheists, will always say, well, we don't want any God. Well, wait a minute. You're always going to have a God, whether it's the God. If it's not, you're going to put the science cult in there. You're going to put the state cult in there. Whatever it is, you're going to be worshiping something. It might not be the true God, but you'll put something in its place.
Oh, yeah. Secular humanism, the worship of human intellect, the worship of these Ivy League, Ivy Tower type people who sit on television and pontificate about how stupid the rest of us are because they live on each coast, and so they must be smarter, and they've gone to the most, the elite universities which teach, you know, underwater basket weaving and feminine lesbian dance at $120,000, $150,000 when you're out of the school and you're wondering why you can't get a job. These are the people that are telling us that we're not the smart ones. We're the, as Hillary Clinton put, you know, those deplorables, the unwashed masses, you know, the peasants. And, you know, I mean this sincerely. I wouldn't shrink away from debating any of these people, any of them, any one of them. In fact, if they happen to see any one of you elitists, see this, I'll debate you. I'll debate you in a heartbeat on progressivism, which is, that's a misnomer, isn't it? It's regressive. Back to tyranny. Now, I don't think a lot that everybody doesn't see it. I think people don't got the guts to stand up to it. That's what I think. I think the polls show, the freaking polls on political correctness, the vast majority of people hate it and are sick of it. The polls on cancel culture, the vast majority are totally against it. But they're afraid to stand up. And I'll tell you, I'm a Jew. And I remember when I was a kid seeing the movies of my people getting slaughtered, you know, and then when they liberated the camps, see what they look like. You know, and how did one guy with a, I don't know if he had a 30-round magazine back then or not, let's just say 30-round, how did one guy with a 30-round magazine control, you know, 4,000 people at a time? Because 30 of them could have gotten killed. So everybody's afraid they're going to get killed, so they went along. You know what I say? I remember as a kid, I remember said, I'm never going that way. I'm not doing it. I remember as a kid, I'm a Jew, Bar Mitzvah, Orthodox synagogue in West Hartford, Connecticut. Raised, it was not a secular Jew. I was raised in a synagogue. And I remember saying to myself, there's no way I'm going down that road. I will fight to the death before I let somebody put me in those stinking cattle car. Let me tell you that right now. So my attitude has always been, I'm not going to shrink back. I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm not going to be. And I don't say that boastfully. I really don't. I mean, maybe it sounds that way and I don't want it to. I'm just saying, I'm just not going to do that because I'm a student of history. I know what happens when you do that. The only way that a minority of people that want to instill tyranny on the majority of people that want to live in freedom, the only way they win is if the majority says they're too afraid to fight. And we've raised generations of wimps. I mean, I'm just not going to stand for it. And I, you know, I'm a human being. I don't want to be canceled. I don't want my people to turn on me or to say, well, we don't want you. No, I don't want that. I mean, I'm a human being. Who wants that, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to shrink back from truth because of that. If that happens, it would be horrible, but it is what it is. And I would venture a guess, and maybe you'd agree, maybe you disagree, I don't know, but I think if we had the majority of pastors who claim to be Bible believers just say, I'm done with this, I ain't putting up with this, and tell their people the truth and stand up publicly, I think we would see a big change. I really do.
Well, that's the only thing that's going to fix this, I believe, because people just love to follow somebody. So that's great. So why aren't the pastors being that person to follow? I mean, we're all supposed to follow Christ, but I mean, the pastors need to be that sort of bridge sometimes and say, hey, congregation, guess what? We're not closing. I don't care what the World Council of Churches says. I don't care what the Presbyterian leadership or the Baptist leadership or the whatever fill in the blank says. We're going to stay open. If the head, whatever, wants us closed and they'll shut us down, we'll go have church in a parking lot. We'll go have church at Nancy's house. We'll go next and meet at Bob's house or whatever it takes. We're not shutting down.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. It's all about shutting us down incrementally, like you said. And so much of the populace right now, I think they look back at the Nazi era. Perhaps they look back at Pol Pot and Mao and Stalin, and it's so far removed from their reality, they sort of see it as a television show or a movie. But
so
I mean, people fail to realize this is what happens every single time we allow this communist filth to take over.
Right, yeah. And you said it's communist filth. This is scum of the earth.
Yeah.
And people might say, Pastor, how could you say that about somebody? I didn't say that Jesus didn't love them and didn't die for them, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't give them the gospel or help them or minister to them. Of course I would. But in their present state, we're talking about swine. The lowest form of human being wants to instill tyranny on another person, wants to take away another person's individual rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and wants to cancel people because you don't agree with them. There are people, I know, for example, I know who the person is who ginned up the most of this protest against me. I know who he is. And he's a government official. And where I am in New Hampshire, in the next city next to me, the city of Keene, these are not full-time officials. They have jobs and they're part-time officials. Some cities maybe have full, I don't know, but here we don't have big cities here, so we don't have a full-time. So I know where the guy works. And I will just tell you, where he works is a very public place. And if I wanted to, I could have called his boss and got him fired. Because I could have told him, I got hundreds of people in this church that are being treated this way, or pastor being treated this way, and they're not happy about it. And your guy is the one who did it. I could have done that easily. I chose not to. Because I think canceling people's jobs is not a nice thing or a right thing to do. Now, I will say this. I want to qualify that. If this stuff keeps going on, then I will. Because if we're going to have to live under this nonsense, so are you. That's a matter of justice at that point. But I didn't do it. I let it go because I didn't want the man to lose his job. Even though he's a real, real lowlife, this guy. He's a real tyranny type of guy, freaking lowlife. This guy's bad news. But I decided to show grace because I really don't believe in canceling people for that for stuff. But eventually, I'm gonna have to say, well, if that's the rules we're going to live under, then you're going to live under the same rules I'm living under.
Exactly. And there are those out there that would say, oh, well, you can't say bad things. You can't judge people. That's my favorite, most irritating line. You can't judge people. And I always say, well, they are what they are. I mean, I can't help it. That doesn't mean I'm not going to pray for them. Like you said, that doesn't mean that I hate them. I'm going to go push them down the stairs. But hey, if somebody's trying to create tyranny and destroy our way of life, I'm not going to call them a nice guy. They're a scumbag.
No. The whole thing about judge not lest you be judged, the favorite scripture of every non-believer, who it's the only scripture they know because they saw it on a website somewhere.
That's it.
Let me just, for your audience, we can give an understanding of that passage. You have to, the fundamental, absolute freaking law of reading the Bible is you have to understand context, who's talking who and what they're saying in context. So the context is very clear. Jesus said, do not judge your brother if he has a spot in his eye when you have a log in your eye. But then when you get the log out of your eye, then you can help your brother to get the spot out of his. The Bible is filled with scriptures telling us to judge things. Filled with it. For example, if a young man wants to come over and date my daughter, I'm going to make a judgment. I'm going to make a judgment based on our conversation, based on what I know about him and such, and I'm going to make a judgment yes or no. In fact, the Bible says if you are without the ability to make righteous judgment, then you're a reprobate. Secularists have no idea what the scripture teaches this about judgment. We don't make the final eternal judgment on any person. That's up to God. And we should not judge another person for the same exact thing that we're doing. So if you're a bank robber and I'm a bank robber, I can't say to you, I can't believe you're robbing banks, because that would be hypocritical. However, if you're a bank robber and I'm a bank robber, we're sitting in the jail together, we both say, bank robbing's not of God. It's not of God. The passage of scripture is simply saying, don't make a judgment about the same thing you're doing. And don't make an eternal judgment ultimately about any individual, because that's not our job. We can just judge what the scripture says, and we can give what the gospel says. And if a person dies on their deathbed, gets right with God, we don't know that. I'm not going to make any decision about where somebody went, because I don't know what happened, right? But I can tell you what the scripture says. If you reject the Savior, you're going to end up in hellfire because you rejected the way to have eternal life. That's not my judgment. I'm reporting the judgment of God's word. God said in his word that homosexuality is an abomination and unacceptable. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and on. I'm not making that judgment. God made that judgment. When I meet somebody who's homosexual, I'm very friendly with everybody, kind to everybody. I don't, I did a radio show one time. Actually, I did one in Keene, New Hampshire. And the host is a gay male. He's out in the open, right? And he wanted to interview me. In fact, it was right after they passed this absurd Supreme Court decision on gay marriage. Absolutely absurd. He said, will you come in and do a show? I want people to hear your perspective. I said, certainly. Now, I know who the guy is. I've spoken to him before. Okay. He's a very friendly guy. I'm very friendly with him. I walked in. When I saw him. I grabbed his hand. I gave him a hug. I said, hey, good to see you, my friend. I've seen you a long time. Well, when he got on radio, the first thing he said was, whatever you want to say about Pastor Berman, to say the guy hates people is not true. In fact, when he came in, he knows who I am. He gave me a hug, said, good to see me. You see, I don't condemn people. I just tell you what the scripture says. And if you are involved with promoting tyranny, then you are living in a philosophical position that is the scum of the earth. That is, it causes people, it's caused 130 million deaths and millions more under tyrannical misery. If you believe in that stuff, you're going to hear from me. Now, I'm not saying whether you're going to heaven or hell or not. If you don't receive Christ your Savior, you're not going to go to heaven. But I'm not going to make a judgment for you because you're going to be on your deathbed before God. You'll make that decision. I'm not making a decision for you. I'm just telling you what the scripture says, and that's it. But this idea, the biggest ridiculousness of leftists saying we should not be judgmental when they are nothing but judgmental about the most minute thing. Some girl lost her job in some – I forgot her name. I think it was a women's magazine or a teen magazine or something like that. Because she said she quoted a rap lyric when she was in high school that had the N-word in it. Oh, we're going back to high school. Do you want people to go back to your high school, my friend? You want to go back to the things I said in high school? I mean, come on. We're going to now go back to high school. A girl who quoted a stupid rap song. They have no problem with the rap song or the rapper, but they got a problem with the woman who quoted the rap song when she was in high school, and then she lost her job like years later. Are you kidding me? These are the most judgmental people on the planet.
It's just sick.
It's very sick, my friend.
Well, we got to talk about this before you go. It's the vaccines. Because I did my work on this a few nights ago. I just kind of got a wild hair and started looking this stuff up. And I'll read it off here to you. AstraZeneca has got aborted derived cell lines. It is HEK293, and that's going to be coming from a kidney cell, I do believe. Yep. And then the next one is the Johnson & Johnson, and that's coming from aborted derived cell line. That's PERC6, and that's going to be coming from retinal tissue of an 18-month-old aborted fetus in 1985. So, I mean, we could go on and on about the obvious mRNA side of things, but for me, it's just pretty cut and dry. I don't support abortion. I don't want any products derived from aborted children.
Right.
So I'm out.
We got – hey, listen, we've got freaking Christian ministers getting this vaccine. Jeez. We even have – I was very disappointed in a man that I actually am usually – very, I really respect the man, Franklin Graham. When he gets up there and says, "Take this vaccine," Jesus would have taken it. I still respect the man in general, but I would sure like him to take that one back. I don't understand people getting aborted cells shot into their body. I don't get that, and I also, from the standpoint of the vaccine itself being a experimental vaccine, I have no idea why anybody would get this vaccine when the CDC's own numbers show that, for example, if you're under 50, I mean, it's like a 0.2% death rate. Even at 70, it's over 95%. Survival rate. So I understand why people take it. Plus, it's an experimental vaccine, which has not been approved by the FDA and only took about 9 months to make. So we have no idea what the long-term effects of this is at all. None. Then, more importantly, what you said about it being from aborted fetuses. I mean, why are Christians taking this?
That's what just blows me away. I mean, all the other stuff, it's got the M. RNA in it, so it's going to rewire your protein synthesis, so it's making you a synthetic in some form or fashion. I mean, to me, I'll say it's probably not the mark of the beast, but to kind of, to quote the great John B. Wells, it'll do until the mark gets here. It's not too far off.
Right, right. John B. Wells, I haven't done his show in a while. I was on his show like 2 years ago. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know if it's mark of the beast or not, but it certainly seems to be pretty close, because they're going to start what they've already started, not letting people travel, not letting people go to work, not letting people go to a basketball game or a grocery store. So it'll trickle right back down to those tenets of communism again, where they're going to starve the people out.
They won't. They're probably going to tell the churches that if you don't have vaccine people, they can't come in, or they have to sit separate or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to
say? We're back to segregation again. We're back to
this. You know what I'm going to say to that, right?
Yeah.
No. But it's not going to be long before they come after guys like me, the law. You know. I mean, I understand that.
And I mean, I guess you've already kind of answered this, but you're not getting a lot of support from the other pastors, which I guess is just, to me, I'm not even doing what you do, but it's just so disheartening, disrespectful, just insane.
I got zero support. Not one who stood up and said, "What?" You know, they could have said something like, "Hey, I don't agree with Pastor Dave on everything, but calling him a racist and a hater and all this stuff, he's never given any indication of that at all." You know, this is how they shut you up, by labeling. Everybody goes, "Oh, don't call me that, because people will look bad on me." If you're a Christian, you got to wake up. Wake up. If the world loves you, the day in which we're living in right now, you're probably not a Christian. Jesus said, "And if servant's not greater than the master, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they hated me, they'll hate you." You cannot be a pastor standing for righteousness and speaking the word of God directly like it is, and standing in culture and saying, "This is what the scripture says," and be liked. I mean, if everybody loves you like you're a Joel Osteen, I'm not going to make the final judgment. That's up to God, but something's wrong there. Something's very wrong. Christianity is countercultural, and it's anti-cultural. Mm-hmm. It's anti this culture, Christianity. It's not just countercultural. And I've always called it countercultural. My assistant pastor said to me one day, she goes, "I think it's anti-cultural." So yeah, it is. It's anti-cultural. They have set up a hedge against the principles of scripture and liberty, principles of God, and have decided that they're taking their stand now. So they put the military, which has been taken over by the communists, the upper echelon, the government communists and the military now. Now they're putting this critical race theory nonsense in there and teaching all this craziness. And freaking, they're turning the military against the people. They're turning every agency against the people. The CIA is being used against the people. This isn't conspiracy theorist stuff. They use the FBI against Trump. They just raided Giuliani's apartment because he was Trump's lawyer. They didn't do nothing to Hunter Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want Hunter. They didn't even want the things that Hunter Biden's evidence on. They want nothing to do with that. They put Martha Stewart in jail for lying to the FBI. Hillary Clinton lied to the FBI over 30 times, and then she deleted emails after she got a subpoena. So that's obstruction of justice. You'd be in jail. I'd be in jail. Listen, this is not a conspiracy theory. The government hates the people. They're no longer a constitutional government. They are after you, and especially if you're a conservative. And if you're a born-again Christian believer concerned, especially you, they are after you, man. I'm on probably on every list you can imagine. And I feel like, you know, I'll probably at some point get arrested and persecuted that way for the gospel. I'm not saying I want that. I don't want that. But probably happen eventually if things don't stop, because I'm not going to listen to them when they tell me something that's an illegal order. I'm only going to listen to, you know, people use Romans 13. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pastors use Romans 13. Well, the Bible says to obey the government. No, the Bible does not say to obey the government. The Bible teaches as a whole to obey the government in all things that are lawful before God. So I think that we're kind of glad that Moses' mother didn't obey the government.
Yeah.
We're kind of glad the midwife didn't. We're kind of glad that Pharaoh's own daughter didn't. Right? We're glad. How about when they told them not to preach in the name of Jesus and he said, it's obey God or man, I'm going to obey God. Romans 13 is not about submitting to tyranny or illegal orders or letting the government teach your children that Jesus is not Lord. And that's not what Romans 13 teaches. Romans 13 teaches that we are to submit to government in all things lawful before God. So if I'm driving down the road, which, you know, I have to confess, I got a lead foot sometimes. If the speed limit is 75 and I'm going 85 and I get a ticket, I got to pay it. I broke the law. It's a legal order before God. I have to pay the price for that because I did the wrong thing by going by speeding. But if you're telling me that obeying the government means they get to tell me I don't meet as a congregation, or obeying the government tells me that you don't have to do it in Rhode Island? They're making pastors report the names of the people that they go to their church when they only give them like 20% can go to the church. We want the names of them.
I didn't know that.
You want me to give you the names of the people come to my church? No. Never.
I mean, this is an often used meme, but everything Hitler did was legal. Everything Mao did was legal. Everything Stalin did was legal. They just said, hey, this is law. We're going to round up the Jews, and we're going to take them to a special camp. And Mao, we're going to round up the farmers and do away with food production. We're going to round up all the dissidents in Russia and put them in a gulag. I mean, that was all legal. So,
sure. Legal before man, legal before God, it's two different things.
Exactly right.
Right. And if you really want to, you know, you mentioned Mao. Mao is really what these people are about. It's the Cultural Revolution. If they want to destroy all of our past, and demonize everybody in the past without any historical understanding or reference for you whatsoever, looking at something 200, 300 years ago from the eyes of a 2021, you have no idea what was going on. Also, the idea that truth is determined by the person who says it is also stupid. Truth is truth no matter who says it. And so the truth of liberty, even though some of our founders were hypocritical, and here's a news flash for everybody watching. Everybody watching is hypocritical. Respectfully, brother, you're hypocritical and so am I. What I mean by that is none of us live up to our ideals 100% of the time. None of us do. That's why we need a savior.
Yeah.
So you look at history and say, yes, some of our founding fathers didn't do the right thing. Does that mean what they said wasn't true? What they said was true, that all men are created equal before God with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All. Black, white, green, yellow, makes no difference. So where we have sinned in the past as a nation, we were wrong. But this idea that America is the only nation to ever sin. Every single nation had slavery just about. Every nation has done terrible things in the past. And here's another one. If I hear Ocasio-Cortez talk about colonialism again, does she realize that she has Spanish roots? Does she realize that South America was conquered by the Spaniards? They didn't speak Spanish until the Spaniards got there.
That's exactly right.
And colonized them. And she's very proud of her Spanish heritage. Why? What's the difference between the Spaniards coming over and conquering South America, killing the Mayans, and on, and the Anglos coming here? There's no difference.
No.
And every nation in this world, in its history, some land was owned by somebody else at some point. And if you go back to America, it was, I think, the Cherokee that conquered the Comanche's land, some of the Comanche land, not long before America was declared. And so if you get the land back, you're going to give it back to the Comanche or the Apache? This idea that America is this evil place that has always been evil, founded on evil, and every other nation is just beautiful. And that the American Indians were sitting around with a peace pipe, just hanging out, and Muhammad was over there in the Middle East and the Arabian Peninsula eating pita bread and chilling. They don't have a clue what happened in history. History is filled with brutality. I'm not suggesting, and I mean this sincerely, when we made a deal with Indians or Native Americans and we went back on it as a nation, that was evil. Slavery was evil. If I was around then, I would have been an abolitionist.
That's right.
But to say that America is an evil country as compared to every other country is insane. The most free country. Why does everybody want to get here? Another thing for Ocasio-Cortez, why does she want all these people from South America to come here if this nation is so horrible? So these people make no sense at all, and it's incumbent upon the average American who has a brain, and particularly leaders, Christian leaders, to stand up, stop going in bed with the Republican Party and politics, and start speaking the truth of the Word of God to everybody, including the Republicans. And by the way, I'm an independent. I'm not a Republican.
I'm right there with you.
The Republican Party leadership is a joke. They don't have any backbone at all. And so I just, you know, this idea, and I said this years ago, people are in bed with the Republican Party. The church thought they're going to win this problem with politics. You do not win the culture with politics. Politics is downstream of culture. You have to preach the gospel. The reason we're electing the people we're electing and doing the stuff we're doing is because the nation has changed to a pagan culture. And that paganism is destroying us, destroying the family, destroying children. Children are a disaster today. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm also not only a pastor here, but I'm also the spiritual director of a place called House of Hope. And that house is for sex trafficked and drug addicted women. And I'm the spiritual director. I minister to these women. I deal with them all the time. What's going on in their lives? It's horrific. I couldn't even repeat. This is all founded in the destruction of the Judeo-Christian ethic, and as we've gone over the paganism and this licentiousness and this idea that you can just do anything you want because all that matters is you being happy at that moment. This is so demonic, and it's been a destruction to the country, to the fiber of the nation, to families and children particularly. And then not to mention the 60 million or so babies that have been murdered by their own mothers and by doctors who took a Hippocratic oath.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most evil, disgusting thing you could possibly imagine. I preach against abortion. People get mad at me for that too, with all kinds of stuff. But here's the thing I would say to any pastors that might be watching. You should never compromise the Word of God because you want to get people into your church. It's just a really, really dumb thing to do. It's an ungodly thing to do. But having said that, I will tell you, I don't compromise, and my church is full all the time. And I just baptized, just in the last 8 months, 39 new believers. Just in the last 8 months. Preaching the gospel. So not only should you stand for right the Word of God because that's what you're called to do as a preacher, because that's obvious, but even if you're thinking in your mind, oh, people, you win people to Christ by giving them Christ. You give people an opportunity to be converted by the gospel by giving them the gospel. And if you don't give them the gospel and Jesus, you can't win people to Jesus without Jesus and the gospel. You're going to lead them to a social club where you say some spiritual niceties, but nobody's been born again. And that's the definition of having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, as the scripture says. So I'm not better than anybody. I ain't better than nobody. I'm just a country preacher. I preach the gospel, win the lost. But I just don't understand at all what has happened. Well, I understand what's happened, but I don't understand why my ministers of the gospel don't understand the basic teaching of this, which is without the Bible, you're not a minister. That's the definition of a minister is someone who ministers the Word of God above everything. So if we don't see a change in that, we won't see a change in the culture.
I really love what you said a moment ago. I don't want to touch on this again because it resonated with me so strongly. And perhaps it was because I was a bit of a rebellious kid, teenager, I guess. I used to really get into punk and hardcore. And it was one of the gravitating factors for me was I didn't drink. I didn't do drugs. I thought that was all just weak and worthless. So I was gravitating towards this hardcore music that also had that same mindset at the time.
Yeah.
And I think in many regards, at least for me, it kind of mirrors what you just said, is that Christians are supposed to be a countercultural movement. We're not supposed to be in the world and in the world. We're supposed to be, you know, not in the world. We're supposed to be in God. We're in this sort of fallen state here on earth, but we're supposed to be godlike. We're not supposed to be cool and try to fit in with the person that's cheating on their wife and be cool and try to fit in with the people that are selling drugs on the corner and be cool and try to fit in with this, that, or the other. We're supposed to try to separate ourselves from that. We're supposed to separate ourselves, wheat from the tares, and try to be, you know, in the world, but not of the world.
Right. Yeah. Well, the culture, the desire to be liked is a strong desire in all human beings. The desire to have a good reputation and to not feel like people think you're a bad person or you're mean to people or you don't love people or whatever. And the leftists have used this greatly because, and this is why the cultural, that they've taken the culture over and they've made part of the culture a penalty for disagreeing with culture. But the Christian must understand that from the beginning, Jesus was against the culture. Jesus did things that the culture would be very upset about. The apostles did too, from the very beginning. And in fact, here's an interesting thing. The Romans were angry at the Christians for a number of reasons. One was because they wouldn't worship the emperor or the ancestors. You know what they, one of the things they called Christians? It's interesting. One of the things that they called Christians was the haters.
I didn't know that.
Isn't that interesting? Something that they call us haters because we don't agree with you on something. And so you're hateful if you don't agree. Like a person says, I'm a girl when they're a male. And we say, well, I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. You're not allowed to do that. You're a hater. You have to agree with them. Now, I can say, well, I don't agree with them. I'm still going to be nice to you. But that's not good enough.
Of course.
You must follow the orthodoxy of the progressive church, the religion. And the countercultural people, Christianity being counterculture, those Christians who are willing to be counterculture are persecuted for. Persecuted economically, and then eventually will be physically. And listen, they've run my name through the mud. You wouldn't believe the stuff they said about me. They put it all over. They even put my name, even, ready for this? Even on those sites that sell stuff,
sure,
like your marketplace sites, they put my name on there and said, this man is a racist, bigot, blah, 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 you know, on and on. Jeez. All over the country. It was insane. Yeah. Crazy. And they wanted me to apologize for offending the culture. What's the difference between these people and the Islamic extremists? Nothing.
Not a heck of a lot.
No. They would always say years ago, you don't get to push your morality on us. So that's all they do is push their morality on us.
That's exactly what's going on right now.
Right. Then they say you can't legislate morality. Well, you're under the penalty of law telling me I have to hire somebody if I have an ice cream shop. I have an ice cream shop, let's say. Some dude comes in with a beard, hairy legs, and a miniskirt with high boots, says he's a woman. I have to hire him. I have to have that represent. I have children coming in here for ice cream. You think your parents are going to bring them in there for that? But I have to do that under penalty of law? This is tyranny. If you want to dress in your dress, go ahead. That's your position. If you want to do it, it's free country. That's not good enough. You have to force everybody else to accept it. They are promoting and pushing and instilling their progressive religion on the country. There's no separation of church and state with those people. They're going to force everybody to follow what they want under the penalty of law, under the barrel of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
I will not submit. I will not submit. And I implore every Christian to stand up and not submit. And I implore every pastor, I implore you. When you got in the ministry, maybe you thought this was like a career move. It's not. It's a calling. It's not fun. It's not fun being a pastor, by the way, in case for those watching who think it is. There's very little fun about it.
Certainly not if you're doing it like you're supposed to, like you are.
It's not fun, my friend. Be threatened to be have your character besmirched, to have people come at you, come against you, call you all these names and say these things about you, and to have your children have to watch people say things about their father that they know are not true. It's not fun. But the calling as a minister of the gospel is to be a minister of the gospel, not a minister of the world. And I'll be the first one to admit to you, I'm a human being. I let myself down. I'm sure I let others down. As I said earlier, nobody lives up to their ideal perfectly. Nobody. Nobody. Because the human condition, we can never do the best all the time. We have the ability to do our best all the time. We fall short. That's why we need a savior. So I'll really admit to you, I'm no better than anybody. But I just don't, this to me is the most basic stuff. Like the Bible says, so I'm a minister of the gospel. I believe the word of God. So I'm going to say the word of God. That's what I'm not sure where the argument is against that. But you're being harsh if you say what God said. Are you calling God harsh? The Apostle Paul was harsh when he said the things he said. Was Jesus harsh? You know, the things that Jesus said. He called the Pharisees twice dead, plucked up by the roots, whitewashed tombs. He called them the containers of death.
Wow.
That seems a little harsh to me.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. He rebuked Peter when Peter tried to stop him from being taken. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." To Peter.
That's right.
John the Baptist said things. How about Elijah when he made fun of the pagan gods? He said, "What's the matter? Your God sleeping?" I guess Elijah was harsh.
I guess so.
I guess Paul was harsh when he said to the, I think it was either Paul or Peter that said to Simon the sorcerer, "Your money perish with you." Seems a little harsh. How about when Ananias and Sapphira came in and they lied to the Holy Ghost and they dropped dead? Seems a little harsh to me.
That's right.
So what we have now is what is being called progressive Christianity. And progressive Christianity is not progressive at all. It's regressive. And by the way, Christianity doesn't progress. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he made the new covenant, that's the new covenant. That's it. It doesn't need to progress. It has everything we need for life and godliness now, the scripture teaches us. So any Christian who calls himself a progressive Christian who now says, "Well, it's okay. God's changed his mind and he's caught up with us, the wisdom of us humans. And now it's okay for Steve to marry Fred." I'm sorry. You can, if you want to say it's okay for Steve to marry Fred, you got free speech and I'll defend your right to say so. But I have a right to tell you that's not what the Bible teaches at all. And you're wrong. But they don't want the free exchange of ideas. You're going to listen to them. And that's why Facebook and all the big tech companies, they're in bed with the progressive movement and the government. And this is an interesting thing. I don't want to keep going on and on, but you know how preachers are. We just keep going.
It's fine with me. I love talking to you.
But the progressive movement is a tyrannical movement. And they always say you're doing what they do. This is their motive. They always say they are the biggest racists there are. They actually believe that a black person is too stupid to get an ID.
That's just true.
How insulting is that? The president of the United States said, "Well, you know, inner city black minorities don't really, you know, really know how to use a computer." You think minorities don't know how to use a computer? Really? I mean, these people are the biggest. How about Joe Biden? Poor kids are just as smart as white kids.
That's right. More quotes, wait, from the president's mouth.
Yeah, then he says to a black guy, he goes, "If you don't vote for me, you ain't black." Then Joe Biden, who gave the eulogy at a KKK wizard, he was either the Grand Wizard of an – it wasn't a Grand Wizard, I think it was a wizard of an – of a one whatever local chapter of the nutcase.
Yeah, Senator Byrd.
Yeah, and he gives this freaking eulogy or how great the guy is. And then he votes for the crime bill, which puts all kinds of black folks in jail. And he's the guy that the progressives wanted to be president because he's not racist, because they're worried about racism. So racism has nothing to do with it. It's a tactic. And the fact of the matter is they kept calling Trump a fascist. But what is the definition of fascism? The definition of fascism is when government and big business work together to lord tyranny over the people. That is the definition of fascism.
That's right.
And that's exactly what they're doing. So,
yeah, I mean, that's what we got with Facebook, Twitter, Google, the big tech companies spying on your phone calls. That's just normal commonplace here in USSA.
Yeah, we've been suspended from Facebook for another 30 days. This is like, I don't know how many times that's happened. Yeah.
I got one strike left on YouTube, and then I'll be gone. I put up, ironically enough, I put up a piece called Food War. I think I mentioned the word COVID one time, but I talked about how food is used as a weapon over and over again in every communist regime. The U.S. has done that time and time again. And then the next day it came out in the media and they said food prices are going to go up about 75% in the next few months. And they took it down. Thanks, you proved my point again. Good.
I've told people this a year ago. I said, buy food when it's cheap. Stock up now, man, because it's going up and could be hard to get. It's really we're in the worst time in our nation's history, freaking worse than the Civil War.
By far.
And the reason I say that is because the Civil War happened over states' rights and slavery, which obviously was a horrible thing, slavery. But what we have now is we don't have any Judeo-Christian foundation any longer in culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're heading towards communism, and there's a lot of us that are not going to stand by and let communism happen without a fight. So in my opinion, we're going to probably have a civil war. Now, for those who are going to watch this, you know, I right-wing watch and put my name on there and say I'm calling for civil war. No, I'm not calling for a civil war. I'm just simply saying, based on history, at some point, the levee's going to break, and people are going to say, I'm not living under this. Not doing it. And that'll probably be states that break away and say we're not doing it. Yeah. Right now, even in Texas, there's a big move to secede from the union. It doesn't have majority support, but it has a large amount of support. 30-40% of people are supporting. That's a large amount of people. So, you know, bad things are coming. However, I believe that we could see revival. I believe that what is being happening about 2 or 3 years ago, I said to one of my assistant pastors, I said, over the next 2 years, you're going to see a separation of the wheat and the tare.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out who the believers are. And I think we're finding that out. And I think eventually the believers, the remnant, are going to lead a revival. That's my hope and my prayer. Right. It really is. Because I know that it looks like the nation's over. It really does. But I still have hope for a revival. I do. I have hope for God's men to preach the gospel, God's real men to preach the gospel and to see revival. I do. And I haven't stopped preaching the gospel through COVID. I haven't stopped. Not going to stop. And I've seen people come to Jesus through this COVID time. Quite a few. Yeah. So I'm not, you know, totally pessimistic, but about the culture itself, I'm terribly pessimistic, at least in the near future, because this stuff is nuts. If you're canceling people, you know, it's amazing. And then the kicker is, you know, you get guys like Cuomo and, you know, the people on the left that came out against him had to come kicking and screaming because they don't cancel their own usually. But what's happening now is their own are starting to get canceled because that's what happens with communism. When people think, oh, we're going to get the other guy you don't agree with, going to stop his speech, they don't realize your speech is going to get stopped too. If you don't toe the party line exactly as it's said, then you're going to get canceled too. That's the nature of totalitarianism. It is totalitarianism.
That's right.
Not partism, totalitarianism. You will do what we say, think what we think, and say what we think, or else. And that's it. And that's what we run into. But there's a whole lot of people out here that are not done with that.
Well, I sure hope so. It definitely gives me hope.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a big backlash. Excuse me. Assuming we can stop the cheating in the election. In 22, I think there's going to be a big backlash against the Democrats. They've really, with the gun control and a lot of this stuff, that people don't want this stuff.
Yeah.
Confiscating guns? You want to see war? Try doing that. That's the last straw. People ain't having that. People ain't having it.
Well, what's the best place people can go to find what you're doing and follow your ministering?
Well, if you want to find me, you can find me on at clfchurch.com. That stands for Christian Life Fellowship. If you want to email me, you can email me at drdave@clfchurch.com. It's just drdave@clfchurch.com. You can watch our broadcast at 10:40 on Facebook every Sunday morning, 10:40 Eastern Standard Time on Facebook or YouTube, CLF, Christian Life Fellowship, Swansea, New Hampshire. You can see me preach every week. We don't mess around. We give you the Word of God. Got a great band for worship, but the most important thing is the Word. And if you want, if you're interested in having me speak or be a guest, you can contact me through my email again, Dr. Dave, D-R-D-A-V-E, at clfchurch.com. And I'd be happy to talk to you about that if you need me to speak somewhere. I have no fear to speak anywhere on any topic. I'm not afraid. So if you're out there and you need a speaker to speak an event, you're having a hard time finding somebody who's willing to do it, I'm willing to do it as long as I think it's a good idea and the scheduling works out and such. But I'll never say no because of fear, believe me. I've just determined to myself, I'm not going to be afraid of these people. I'm going to tell them what the scripture teaches. I'm going to say the truth. I don't care what they say. It is what it is. And I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. I appreciate that. I know that, every opportunity I get, I go on radio shows or TV shows. Gives me the opportunity to reach one more ear that maybe will wake up and say, I got to start fighting against this stuff. I got to save my nation and save my family. So I appreciate you having me on. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, you're very welcome anytime. Well, if you missed any of that, always say fear not. You can check out anomicage.com. You can find today's show, the video, the audio, all the links that Pastor Berman just mentioned will be available there beneath the show as well. And as I always say, you can't do everything, but you can do something. So please try to get out there and do your part and make that difference. Till next time, I'll be seeing you sooner than later in the Anomic Age.
Thank you for listening to the Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to anomicage.com. That's anomicage.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to the Anomic Age. I'm going to go to the next one.